NFL draft. I want to thank everybody for being here. All right, hit that like button. Subscribe to the channel if you're not already. We appreciate all you guys for tuning in today and for being here. As always, you guys are such great listeners, and our audience is a very loyal audience. So we do appreciate all of you guys for tuning in. John, yesterday when we talked to Jeff Kerr, you brought up kind of the NFC East and all of their drafts and some of their off seasons. And I want to kind of run through that today a little bit and just look at how the NFC East is faring, because it does look to me like the NFC East is about to get a whole lot better. Now, that doesn't mean they're all going to be ready to contend this year, but you take a look at the Eagles. I think they're going to be, again, a great football team. How far they go, we will find out. You look at the Dallas Cowboys, obviously had one of the best offenses in football last year. They've now bolstered that defense significantly. How much better can they get? You look at the Commanders, obviously Jaden Daniels is what he is. He's a great football player, which means they have a chance every single year. Now, they came back to earth a little bit last year, or came back to earth in a big way last year. But I do think their future looks pretty bright. And then the New York Football Giants have finally started to make good decisions for the first time in maybe a damn decade. So it feels like, John, the NFC East or the NFC East could get a whole lot better here in the coming years, and maybe even this upcoming season that we have right in front of us.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned that as you said with Jeff, because, you know, I see all these draft grades, and we all know draft grades are ludicrous. I mean, you're grading things before anybody steps onto a football field. At the professional level. So, you know, 3 years is how the Eagles approach it, you know, as far as when you can start to look back and judge a draft class. And I think that's fair, but the reality is, you know, because of Howie's reputation, the Eagles always get these great marks and everybody, they did it again. They did. Maybe they did. But I do know it's not going to be immediate. Other than potentially Mekhi Lemon, as we all expect. And by the way, I don't know if anybody, because they don't like to believe the local guys, you know, Shepty was talking on, I believe it was the Pat McAfee show. Yeah, AJ's still going. So, you know, the youth camp and all that kind of stuff, as I've said pretty consistently for a while, the belief around the league is that he's going to New England post June 1st. So there will be a spot for Mekhi Lemon. There could be a spot for Eli Stowers to get decent level of snaps, as, you know, if you think about Dallas Goedert, Johnny Munt, and Eli Stowers. And the only reason I put Johnny Munt, I'm not trying to compare them as players, it's because you need the blocker in that mix. So, in other words, you're not going to play Dallas Goedert and Eli Stowers together too
That's
often.
What I mean. Like, how much 12 personnel, John, would they run where both of those guys are on the field?
I don't think much. That's the point. So it's either going to be Goedert with Munt.
And you've done it, but I think that even needs more explanation, because I think fans, you know, who are just look at the draft pick of Eli Stowers are going to default to, John, well, tight end one is Goedert and tight end two is the new draft pick, and they're going to be on the field together, you know, exactly. I don't really think it works that well.
No. Well, you saw it last year, and people say, well, Grant Calcaterra is not that good. Well, that's fine, you know. But you saw the impact of having two sort of poor blockers on the field together. And, you know, granted, that wasn't the history of Dallas Goedert. He's been a pretty good blocker throughout his career, but last year he wasn't. And you saw the impact of having two poor blockers. And for some reason, the Eagles kind of continued to, for whatever reason, continued to trot it out there so much 12 personnel with two guys who weren't having good blocking seasons. So, you know, that's what you would be in, but maybe even a little bit worse from the standpoint of Eli, you know, 3 years off, basically being a quarterback. So, you know, he's a work in progress. I think the upside is there because of his size, because of his athletic ability. He seems willing. So all of that is positive, I would say. But it's probably not realistic right away. So you're not gonna play a ton of snaps with those two on the field together. Unless Dallas can revert back to being a top-tier blocking tight end. I guess that's possible. That's the hope. And then you have Munt, who is a good blocker and has been for a long time, but he's very limited as a receiver. You know, his career high, I'm just trying to look it up. His career high in snaps is 466 back in Minnesota in 2022. Last year it was 401. So that's pretty much, if you look at his career, he's with the Rams. The most snaps he ever had with the Rams were 213. He's only been over 400 three times in his career. So he's not a full-time player by any stretch of the imagination, but yet everybody talks about him like he's Mark Barbaro. I don't get that. But he is a good blocker, and if you want to play 12 personnel, he's probably going to be on the field.
Right.
So, you know, are you can get Stowers on the field if you want to take Goddard off or vice versa.
You don't think they're in a situation where a Goddard trade could happen in the season, do you?
No.
No, right? Yeah, no, I don't either.
Certainly not. I mean, so I think, and I said it, I think on draft night when we talked, I think Eli is about more of 2027 than 2026.
Right.
Similar to Markell Bell, the third round pick. And then when you talk about the day three guys, other than Cole Wisniewski, and you can argue Micah Morris if somebody gets hurt, because obviously it's likely that somebody will get banged up at least for a couple games with Landon and all the issues he's dealing with. Not much opportunity for those guys to even find a way to the playing field. So all these draft grades, they're fine, but you know, you better understand you're talking about 3 years out, not immediate, with the exception of Mekhi Lemon. Now, the Giants, because they stink, let's be honest, and, you know, and they've stunk for a while, and they're starting to manipulate things a little bit better. They had two picks in the top 10. In a draft where there's probably 15 good players by the Eagles' own estimation, and they got two of them, Arvell Reese and Francis Mauigoa. They got two of them. Washington didn't have a lot of picks. They got one of them, Sonny Styles. And Dallas, because of what they did with Micah Parsons, they had the extra first round pick. And they got one of the top 15 Caleb Downs. And we'll see on Malachi Lawrence. I don't love that pick, but they got two first round picks. So if you're talking about immediate, it's more likely that every team in the NFC East got more immediate help than the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, partially that has to do with the Eagles are better.
Right. So they needed it more. Everybody else needed it more. Right.
Well, if the Eagles are better and they were in a better position to get the top tier talent, and they have more immediate need to force that top tier talent on the field. But I'm very cautious of saying it just because I don't think this draft class is going to be immediate in a lot of places. Whereas other draft classes will be, and the Eagles might end up with the best draft class 3 years from now, especially if Stowers develops, and Markell Bell, that would be a home run. But immediate help, it's tough to argue that they're not fourth in the four-team division.
I don't disagree, Johnny Mac, and they haven't made that many moves outside of the draft. I mean, they traded for or they signed Tariq Woolen. They traded for Dontavian Wicks.
Well, the Grenard trade is huge.
Grenard,
that's part of the draft from the Eagles' perspective. So if you want to add that in, it closes the gap dramatically. In fact, they maybe did, but I don't think a lot of those draft rankings. And the ones that contextually place that in, well, they're probably right, but most of them don't. Because he's a big-time player. And I'm very confident that Eagles fans will fall in love with him early in the process.
Well, I agree with that. But for the rest of it, I think the offense, you really are relying on kind of the changing scheme and Sean Mannion coming in here and doing something. So we will see about that. Gentlemen, you go to the Cowboys. You just mentioned them a little bit. You did talk about them. I believe they finished second in the NFC East last year. They had an okay season. They actually had the best record in division last year of anybody. I think it was 4-2 or 5-1 maybe even. They had a good year in the division. And a really good offense, John, a really good offense. So I don't know what you think of their additions. Obviously, you mentioned Caleb Downs and Malachi Lawrence. They've done some other things as well. But I happen to think that the Dallas Cowboys could have a big year in front of them if that defense can really take it to the next level. They got Christian Parker, who they hired away from the Philadelphia Eagles, who's been a really big part of the Eagles' defensive staff. And now they got some good dudes for him to work with. So that's an interesting team to me, John, is the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, yeah, they're good coming in. Not great, but obviously they've had a good offense for a long time. And their defense kind of fell off. So the goal is to get that back up to speed. Hiring Christian Parker, getting away from Matt Eberflus. In that style of defense, that should help. Still need the edge rusher, and they tried to carpet bomb it with not only Malachi Lawrence, who I didn't have as a first-round pick, but he was a bridge pick. Some people did. And then Jayshon Barham as well later in the third round. So they're taking a couple shots at it, and they even took LT Overton on day three, so you can see the carpet bomb effect. Maybe one of those guys helps, but that still seems like a big weakness on paper. Very strong in the middle with up front with Quinnen Williams and Kenny Clark. Linebackers are still an issue. Now they traded for D Winners. You know, there's a lot of talk N'Kobe would go there. He didn't. You know, you have Overshown coming back, you know, healthier. So maybe that helps. And the secondary, you know, Caleb Downs was a huge get. My best pick in the first round. Because they need a lot of help, and he can play a lot of different positions. He's a very versatile guy. And I think Christian Parker sees what Bick did with Cooper DeJean. And he's going to try something similar, different. You know, Cooper's more of a corner / slot, you know, whereas Downs is more of a safety / slot. But I think he's going to put him in the slot to begin with. And we'll see how much of an impact he can have. But
They signed somebody. I think it was Jalen Thompson.
Yeah, they got Thompson. They got they still have Malik Hooker, Marquise Bell. So they have some bodies, but you know, they're still a little bit concerned about that secondary. But getting Caleb Downs helps a lot, and maybe Siobhan Revelle can turned into something. But Deron Bland looks like a shell of himself. Maybe he gets better with Christian, but I still see quite a few issues on the back seven that Christian Parker is going to have to overcome.
Yeah, it does help with Caleb Downs. They did sign Jalen Thompson to a 3-year, $33 million deal. They also have Kobe Durant at corner. I don't know how much he's going to do or if he's more of a depth piece. So we will see about that with the Dallas Cowboys. They didn't lose much. I mean, they traded away Osa, but that made sense because they have so much on the interior there. Same with Solomon Thomas and then Jadeveon Clowney. But I think the Dallas Cowboys are going to be a lot better. I don't know how much better, but I think they are going to be a better football team this year. You go to the New York Giants, John. They are finally making some good decisions. They signed, you know, Isaiah Likely in free agency, a couple other dudes there. Some good draft picks that they made. But they also had some pretty key losses, John. I mean, you trade away Dexter Lawrence and replace him with Arvell Reese as an edge rusher. I mean, that's great and all, but, you know, you got a lot of edge rushers and not a lot of dudes in there to stop the run. So I don't really know what they're thinking with that. I think the Giants offseason was just okay. I don't think it's been as good as I thought it would be with John Harbaugh, but overall they are making some better decisions. And I will still rip though, Joe Shane. I don't think he's done a very good job for them.
Well, I don't think you're going to have to worry. I mean, eventually, John Harbaugh's going to want his guy in there, and it'll come, I would think, sooner rather than later. But I do think I focus more because I think John's in charge. That to me is the keyer part. And they're getting better. I mean, they signed a bunch of, you know, ex-Ravens, as you would expect. Mainly, you know, Isaiah Likely at tight end, who's a very good player. Patrick Ricard at fullback. So you can see what they're trying to do. Now, they don't have – Cam Scataboo isn't coming off an injury. Injury isn't Derrick Henry, to say the least. So they still need to find somebody to take advantage of it. The offensive line's getting better. Andrew Thomas, a very good player. Now you add – Maui Goa inside, they're going to play him at guard, which I think is the right thing to do. So if you have two big time players, then all of a sudden the rest of the group, which is Illuminor, it's okay. He's okay. Schmitz at center is okay. Runyon's okay. And then you got star, then you got something. And then how do you help Jackson Dart? Well, they brought in Malachi Fields, not a big fan of that. More of a contested catch guy, but you're going to be putting a lot on the plate of Malik Nabers. But he's really good. And Likely, you know, to me, is their second best receiver in that group. They still have Slayton. I'm surprised, though, they haven't made a move at running. I'm more meaningful move at running back, you know, to take advantage of what they're building with the big time fullback and the better offensive line. Defensively, yeah, you're not replacing Dexter. That's like AJ. You're not replacing him.
No.
So, you know, but he wanted out. So
he wanted a new contract. Did he want out or did he want a new contract? And they wouldn't.
Well, he wanted a new contract. In a lot of ways, you can get.
I don't know what that dude does over there. What do you mean you don't want that defense? Would be legitimately scary with Dexter Lawrence between all those great pass rushers.
Well, I had Dexter Lawrence all in between all those great.
And they were one of the better D lines in the league, weren't they?
Well, they still weren't one of the better defenses. So it's like
I don't think it was because of Dexter, but.
Well, no, either do I, but, you know, you got to make these difficult decisions with players that are good players, in this case, great players. But, you know, how far do you want to go? I would have kept him. I'm not advocating it, but I understand why they moved on. And you can give Jordan Davis a lot of credit for that, for his contract. So it in a roundabout way, how the Eagles do business helps them again. But the Eagles did it with Jalen Phillips. They did the same thing. Everybody's got a walk away number. Sometimes I wonder about the walkaway number.
Respect is no Dexter Lawrence.
That's not the point. The point is they walked away from a player they wanted.
Right.
That they, you know, they wanted him and they walked away. You know, they don't, if everything was copacetic, they didn't want to trade AJ. But, you know, they believed it reached a point that, you know, addition by subtraction. They're not going to get better from a pure talent standpoint by moving on from them. So it's not unique to the New York Giants. That's why Grenard is here. If you want to look at it from the other side, same thing. I mean, I thought Rob Brzezinski was going to cry when he was talking about the trade. They didn't want to get rid of him. They just felt, you know, and some of these decisions are wrong. Some will be right. But it's not like it's unique. But I get, you know, the standpoint of the Giants' recent history is not good. But I think people have to start coming in the grip that John Harbaugh is going to be better.
Yeah, he definitely will be better. There's no doubt about that. I agree with that completely.
So, but they have a long way to go, though. It's not like it's, I could see them being competitive, getting near 8-9 wins, you know, but this is a multi-year process, especially with a young quarterback. And they really need to get a better running back to help out that young quarterback. Which is ironic. They probably would have drafted Jeremiah Love, even with the, you know, they would have been criticized because they weren't able to take advantage of Saquon all those years. But they would have done it, and it would have been the smart thing, but he didn't get there. So now you're stuck with trying to cobble it together with Cam Scataboo coming off an injury and Tyrone Tracy and Devin Singletary and those guys, which isn't going to scare anybody.
Are you a Jackson Dart believer?
He's a lot better than I expected. And Vic is a Jackson Dart believer, so I tend to lean towards – I go, okay, what did I miss?
Yeah, but see, here's my question about that. Is Vic a Jackson Dart believer in the long term, or does he understand that he can beat you in the short term because of his playmaking ability? You know, I saw a lot of off schedule with him, John. That's all I'm saying. I do not know that if you take away some of that off schedule, he's going to be a viable player in the pocket who picks you apart and wins games – you know, by reading, dissecting, and throwing the ball on time and on target. I didn't see that much from Jackson Dart.
Well, that sounds like it'd be a scattering report for somebody. In a lot of ways, that's modern football. So from a standpoint, I just, and Vic doesn't blow, I know him well enough now that he doesn't blow smoke up your ass. And he likes him. And he thinks he's a pain in the ass to deal with. And that resonates with me.
All right.
So, I mean, coming in, I was like, Jackson Dart. But, you know, I defer to Vic on that one. And he likes him a lot.
All right, fair enough. I'm not too much of a believer on Jackson Dart. I just don't think his playing style is going to last very long. But we will see about that. He was reckless. I mean, it's one thing to say Jalen Hurts runs, but he was reckless. So, I don't think – that's going to last that long. We'll see how he modifies that. And then, John, closing up the NFC East, the Washington Commanders, they've signed a lot of people in the last couple of years. I didn't like who they signed last offseason. This offseason, they pick up Adafe Owe for a 4-year, $100 million
deal. I didn't like that either, man.
Me neither. Leo Chenal, they signed him from the Chiefs. They got the tight end, Chigo Okonwo, or however you pronounce that one. Running back Rashad White, De'Ami Brown, Van Jefferson. They got a lot of dudes over there in Washington. I think what makes it all work, though, is Jaden Daniels. I mean, and when you have a quarterback like that, now that's a quarterback that I think is pretty damn good. And if he can stay healthy, I think he's got a bright future. But what do you make of where the Commanders are right now? It feels like, you know, they obviously had that huge year where they go to the NFC Championship game. They come all the way back to earth. Where will they fall this year, Johnny Mac? How do you see that football team right now?
Well, yeah, so much depends on the health of Jaden Daniels. I mean, I look at their playmakers, and I'm not in awe. You know, You got Kroski, Merritt, Rashad White at running back. They drafted Katron Allen. So Jeff Kerr will tell you they're in good shape, but I don't think they're in good shape. Penn State guy. On day three, Terry McLaurin. You know, he's been a great player, but he's to me, he's never been at the tippy top of the wide receivers in this league. You know, then you got guys like McCaffrey and Dyami Brown and Treylon Burks. Like, who's that scaring? Antonio, they drafted Antonio Williams, so I'm sure they hope they can get him on the field early. Now, Okonkwo, you know, Chig Okonkwo is a guy that a lot of people speculated the Eagles might go after in free agency. I do think he's a good young player. I think he'll help. The offensive line is sort of just average. Connerly's got to get better. If he does, Sam Cosmi's pretty good player. Tunsil's not as good as he was, but he's still okay. And then defensively, you know, you bring in Sonny Styles, which is, you know, a give and take because probably means Bobby Wagner isn't coming back. Now, Bobby Wagner's whatever. Got to look up how old he is, 35, 36. But, man, he can still play. Guy's going to the Hall of Fame.
Do you think it's him and Sonny Styles on the field?
Well, he's not signed. Right now it's Frankie Luvu and Sonny
Styles. Oh, right.
Yeah, I don't think they're bringing Wagner back. So, and no, Luvu's not nearly as good, even at his advanced age. So I don't think that helps. And now they also brought in Leo Chanel, who's a pretty good player. So to me, it could be Styles and Chanel eventually. And then, you know, always your top pass rusher. Come on, stop.
Can Chanel line up on the edge at all?
No, he's off ball. You know, they have Chaisson and probably Chaisson and Owe will be their top edge rushers, and that's not good enough. Inside, they're okay. They're still a pain. Kinlaw's there. Tim Settle's okay. And then the secondary's been terrible for a long time. You get Trey Amos, you know, Sandra still didn't have a good season. Hopefully he can have a bounce back. Amik Robertson, I always liked in Detroit, but, you know, he's limited. He seems to play well in small doses, Amik Robertson. Like, you're like in desperate quarters. Detroit had so many injuries, and you're like, they're screwed. And he goes out and he plays well. But if he's got to play 15 games, he starts to get exposed. He's that type of player to me. So they still got a lot of holes. I mean, they're a team that will be carried by Jaden Daniels for good or for bad. If he's healthy and he's cooking versus if he's not healthy, you know, and that's probably not the spot you want to be in.
We'll see what ends up happening. That's kind of a look at the NFC East there. John, just kind of give me your obviously, it's way too early to make any grandiose, you know, oh, who this team's going to be good, this team's going to win here. But just your early thought right now on who's going to be the class of the East this year.
Well, the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles are the class of the East. They'd have to do a lot wrong to not be in the mix to win the division again. Doesn't mean they'll win it. I do think Dallas has a chance to be in the same realm. And then the Giants are, I think the Giants have a better roster, as sad as that sounds, as Washington from 1 through 53. But, you know, they have the quarterback, Washington. So depends how you look at it. But I still think it's the two teams at the top and the two teams at the bottom. I just think that one team at the bottom is clearly looking like it's going in the right direction. And the other team is sort of wait and see mode. I don't like a lot of things that Washington has done since they were in that championship game. And I was fearful of that because they didn't belong in that championship game.
Yeah. Yeah. I was critical of them last summer because I thought that they just signed all the wrong people, and that turned out to be true. We will see if they make the bounce back. The great equalizer there, obviously, is Jaden Daniels, who's a hell of a young player. We'll see how he does in year three for Jaden Daniels. That's a look at the NFC East, everybody. Appreciate all you guys for being here today. Don't forget to hit that like button. We will see who wins the East. Last year was the Eagles in first, Cowboys in second, Commanders in third, Giants in fourth. The Eagles had a record of 11-6. The Cowboys had a record of 7-9-1. The Commanders were 5-12. Hard to believe after being in the NFC Championship game. And then the Giants were 4-13. So if you make a prediction for each team, where do you land? Do the Eagles get 12 wins? Do the Cowboys get 10 wins? Do the Commanders get 8-9-10 wins? Do the Giants get 8-9-10 wins? Feels like every team in the East could win more games this year than they did last year. And we will see what that means for the standings in the East. Good stuff there. Johnny Mac, John, moving into the more Eagle focused discussion here. Somebody called me out yesterday and said, so Xander, you think this draft class is just a bunch of depth? And I want to think, and kind of came from my conversation with you where we've run down each of the players and talked about what their role might be on the team this year. That's kind of what it looks like to you too, right, John? I mean, a depth draft class outside of
Mekhi Lemon. Well, immediately, yeah. And for 2026, other than Mekhi Lemon,
that's what the comment was in reference to, though. Yeah.
Now, long term, I think there's a very big upside for Stowers and Markell Bell, but you know, Markell's not getting on the field unless somebody gets hurt. Bottom line. And Eli, as I just explained, it's going to be very difficult for him to be on the field in 12 personnel with Dallas Goedert. So you have to make a decision. Is it Dallas and Johnny Munt, or is it Eli Stowers and Johnny Munt? And he'll be on the field, but I don't think as much as people think. And then the day three guys are basically all depth, with the exception of potentially Cole Wisniewski, but I do believe Howie's going to bring in a safety at some point. So I think ultimately they'll be all depth. Cole Payton will either be the third quarterback or the practice squad quarterback, depending on what they do with Tanner McKee and Andy Dalton. Micah Morris, slight chance he could get out there based on injury because the Eagles don't have a lot of veteran depth, but you know, I wrote about Michael Jordan yesterday, not the basketball player, the football player. You know, they had him in for a tryout. They're obviously looking for some veteran depth that can play guard. And if they get that, well, that knocks him down another peg. He's going to be here, but he's not going to play, most likely. And then Uar Bernard's a multi-year project, and I mean multi-year project. And Keyshawn James Newby is probably a lesser version of Antoine Powell Ryland that everybody was so excited about. So it's funny, you know, I always compare it. Somebody told me, I don't know if this is bullshit, but somebody told me, some of the ladies watching can tell me, you know, God bless the woman of the world that raised children, but it's got to be a horrible process to go through to be pregnant. You know, a lot of pain, obviously. And somebody told me, and I don't know if this is true, but there's women have sort of a chemical in you know, in their systems, whatever, that makes them forget how horrible pregnancy was, and they'll do it again. I think Eagles fans forget what happened last year, and they'll do it again, and they get excited about Antoine Powell Ryland and Keyshawn James Newby. I mean, they're not going to be relevant. He might start on the practice squad. He might develop, but
boy, if that's true, Johnny Mac, women are putting us to shame today. As the chemical works for our sports fandom, and it works for them birthing, keeping basically the humanity alive.
Well, I don't think there's a chemical. I think people, you know, more likely they just wipe it out. you know, they wipe it out of their mind.
That's a shout out to the ladies here today, John. But men are whining about sports fandom, and the women are.
Women are 10 times tougher than men. I've always said that. I would never go through anything like that. So, a million times tougher than men. So, but yeah, a little bit joke. I hope people understand the joke.
Yeah, I think you're good.
Keyshawn James newbie is not relevant to the Eagles' edge rushing situation this year. But people will talk themselves into shit. So I don't know who gave you a crap, but you're exactly right. You're not going to get a ton of immediate help from this draft class.
What kind of year one expectation do you have for Mekhi Lemon?
Well, that's got to be big. Ironically, if by some miracle you get AJ Brown, you could add him to that column too. Then it's not big. But it's going to have to be big. As I said, I'm not worried about week one, but I am worried about, you know, week seven, week eight. He's got to be the number two. Because there's some limitations to Dontayvion Wicks from a speed standpoint, explosion standpoint. So he's not going to be able to, you know, be a consistent big play threat. So he needs to be on the field. He's the one guy that needs to be on the field.
I think he's going to be on the field for sure. You know, how much he gets the ball, I don't know. I mean, boy, I tell you what, John, the anticipation is certainly building, though, on this Sean Mannion-led offense. You know, I don't know how different it's going to look. I mean, you have me conflicted because –
Well, I'm conflicted.
Right. Well, I look at everything they've done. I look at everything they seemingly are trying to do. And then I talk to you and you're just like, they're probably going to fall back to what they've done. And I'm like, I don't disagree with John, but I also need to believe also what I'm seeing. And they're making a lot of moves that seem to fall in line with this new style of offense that they evidently want to run. And it's created a conflict for me of like,
well, you
know, said this to me yesterday. He said, I listened to your morning show and I heard John say basically that if it doesn't work, they're going to fall back to what they do. And he's like, I don't disagree with them, but I would ask him, would that mean it's a failure of an offseason because they've made so many moves that look like they've gone in the direction of the new offense? You know, and I think it's a fair question to ask.
Well, I, you know, I'm conflicted, just as you said, but they're not conflicting ideas. Like, from the standpoint of that answer, number one, I think that's overblown. I think Howie, and I wrote about that, I think Howie went best player available on his board, wasn't getting players to fit that offense. In fact, you know, people can talk to the skill position players and say, well, they're inside players. So that's, but you then look at the offensive linemen, which are giant, massive, Jeff Stoutland-like offensive linemen. And even Stowers, again, I think the perception is, because the perception is it's all about the passing game. Well, the running game demands a tight end like George Kittle or Tucker.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.